Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor on WFIU. I'm Joe Wren. First week of March. And as always, I'm with Columbus Mayor Jim Lineup. Hello. Welcome to March.
Glad to be here. Thank you, Joe. Yeah.
I came across this in The Republic, and I thought it'd be good just to kind of start off with because of the national news made from the train derailment in Ohio, the threat of toxic waste. Back in the news today, the governor objecting to some of that being moved to Indiana. But I think about trains through so many Indiana communities, including there in Columbus, and saw a headline saying, "Is your town next?"
Right.
It's complicated. It's very complicated, but it's probably a good discussion to have.
It is really complicated. I will start off by saying that we train for events such as what happened. We have a pretty active first responder group, not only just through managed through the Columbus Fire Department, but our EMS service and the relationships that we have with surrounding counties. I mean, we do train for events such as what happened. What happened in Eastern Ohio is. Kind of unusual in that the volume. I mean, what you can't train for is mass. I mean, it's easy to be overwhelmed because at the end of the day, we've got only so many first responders, right? And I want to say the one of the reports I read indicated there were 10 rail cars that derailed and then spilled and the contents got fire and mixed with others and. And so part of what you have to deal with there is the volume that was presented, and that's a bit of a challenge. And so we've always got the opportunity to have an overwhelming event, whether it's a flood or a fire or I guess we could have an earthquake, but we're talking about a spill on a railroad. And candidly, that kind of a spill could happen with a truck. You could have an airplane fall out of the sky. I mean, there's just a variety of calamitous events that can occur, and so we do train for that kind of stuff. And hopefully, if it were to happen, it does so in volume that that we can manage.
I did read a report. This may have been a couple of months ago. Never got been able to get to it on the show. There's something about regulators testing for toxic forever chemicals in Columbus. What precipitated that, and were there results from that?
Well, we have no results, but the forever chemicals. I think, excuse me. I think sometimes they're referred to as PFAS, and they relate to slickness. If you think about Teflon, and I'm not sure that Teflon. I don't want to get in trouble here with DuPont, and their folks. But the ability to make surfaces that are slippery has been a big advantage. To us in our industrial capacities, but it also carries the risk of some kind of chemical that works its way into the water system because it doesn't really last forever, but it might as well. I mean, it lasts long enough time that it just doesn't degrade. And so we've been asked to test for that stuff. Right now, as I understand it, the EPA has not identified any limits. They don't tell you. You can have so many parts per billion in your water, or you can't. I mean, it's not a identified substance, but we've begun to test on a testing basis, if you will, just to sort of see if there's anything out there, and maybe perhaps from that we develop some regulations. But yeah, you were always testing the water. I mean, I think we draw water from some location at least once a week, and typically you're testing for bacteria. And we've been lucky that we've not well and it's not just luck. I mean, we plan it this way, but we've not had any exposure to E. coli or some of the more things that people may be more familiar with. But yeah, it's on the list of things to look into, and I've not heard back on how we're doing with that.
Now, something I know you're excited about, Bloomington, a couple other Indiana cities, Meridiam installing fiber for high-speed internet throughout municipalities. Has the installation started?
The installation has started. If you know where to look or how to tell, you can drive around town and you'll see the guys working away. I mean, they're putting conduit in the ground. They typically follow the existing utilities, primarily the overhead electrical wires. but some of the stuff that I've seen has been underground. But yeah, their expectation is to begin to sign up customers, I want to say in the second quarter of this year. So we're kind of excited about that. And yeah, we have a program that looks a lot like the one they got in Bloomington with respect to some assistance for low-income households so that they can get high-speed internet, but basically just to be able to provide that all throughout the city so that there are no, what you might call a brown area where, they've got internet service, but it's not real good. This should be, like I say, gig up, gig down over about 90% of the city.
Now, some Bloomington residents reported some, tore up lawns, broken sewer lines as installation has started, and of course, some very upset homeowners. I talked with Mayor Hamilton, so the installation company will pay the bills. They're looking into that. Is that something that's been happening in Columbus as well?
We've not received any reports of any broken bro anything broken, Now we have, I see, there's obviously some holes being dug in the ground. I mean that, that's going on, but no broken sewer lines, no disconnected gas lines or anything like that.
I see too, the city has also designated COVID relief funds to help, you mentioned this a little bit, a low-income residents connect to the new broadband infrastructure. How is that being allocated?
Well, that's a certain amount that was set aside by our city council. I'm drawing a blank on how many hundreds of thousands that was, but we'll parse that out based upon income guidelines that will be consistent with what's in the COVID law.
Okay, so people could apply for that. Is that how that works?
Yeah, they'll apply. I mean, and candidly, the provider, the Meridian, won't be Meridian. I'm drawing a blank on the name, but they will have a internet provider, and those people will be all over the income requirements and the filing requirements, and they'll make sure that it happens.
So I have to follow up on the Nexus Park, or now named Circle K Fieldhouse, had
Correct.
the, is it hammer breaking? Is that the terminology a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, well, we busted up a piece of drywall, a big section of drywall. We were doing some demolition on the inside. Part of the Nexus Park project will include, just a renovation of what had been the Fair Oaks Mall. We're going to put some parks offices in there, as well as just a variety of other rooms that will have a variety of uses. And there just happened to be a big piece of drywall that needed to come down. I mean, it was, I don't know, 20, 30 feet long and 10 to 12 feet tall. And we thought that, in lieu of a groundbreaking, where you typically go out and, dig a shovel full of sand or dirt, why we would just get some small sledgehammers and let people just have a whack or two or three. And I was proud that I was actually a switch hitter. I was able to hit the wall from, right-handed and left-handed, but it was fun. We had about 250 people show up, and we talked a little bit more about the project and gave some updates on the progress. I mean, you can go out there now, and they are assembling, if that's a word, steel that will serve as the structure. So the supports, the vertical supports, are on site, at least some of them, and then the roof components, the beams, I think, if that's the right phrase, and those will start to be installed in about a week. Got to get some big cranes. I mean, some a couple of really large ones that will come down here from most likely Indianapolis, and they will erect the steel superstructure for the field house. But yeah, we're going to call it the Circle K Field House, and happy to be able to invite them. They've been in Columbus for a long time, but they've not had a real high profile, and so we're happy to see them sign on to support the Field House project.
So I thought we'd go ahead and get a quick update on the riverfront development too. I came across an article, the Columbus Redevelopment Commission is doing a property swap to prepare some of that riverfront for future development. We haven't talked about this project in a while. Can you update us a little bit on what's new there?
Well, the property swap that you talked about was with the Louisville and Indiana Railroad. There's a spur line of railway, if you will, that it goes by the pump house and then sort of parallels First Street for a while, and and runs out towards the small industrial complex that we've got out in East Columbus. And you might think that the property lines along that spur line would sort of mirror the arc of the tracks, you know, and maintain that curve, but they don't. When you look out on paper, I mean, you can see it's more of a sawtooth type effect where, you know, you go down and over to the side and down and over the side. It's a little hard for me to do that without trying to draw that on the screen here, but we've got somebody interested in some of the ground down there, but they've asked us to sort of clean up the property lines. And what we found was that not only do you have the sawtooth pattern, which makes it a little bit more difficult to develop, because you don't have the, you don't have the ground that you think you get, you know, that you see. But we also had some easements that crossed the rail lines, and you know, there were some things that it would be helpful to the railroad to have cleaned up. And so what we wanted to do was to swap some of the ground that they own, some of this jagged edges, if you will, give that to us, and then we'll give you the right of way that you're, you know, that goes underneath your tracks. And we've gotten a verbal agreement from the railroad that they're prepared to move forward on that, but I haven't seen the signed documents yet. The attorneys still seem to, you know, find it. There's always something else to question. So, we're working together with them on that. And that really will provide, hopefully, another development in that area. And it's sort of way too early to be able to describe what that is, because I don't even think that, like I say, we don't have a buyer yet. We've got an interested party. Once we get a feel for what that might be, we'll obviously be interested in announcing it. But that will be an enhancement to the riverfront project that we've got, you know, which is designed to clean up that section of the river, what we call the land between the bridges, so between the Second Street Bridge, the Stewart Bridge, and the Third Street Bridge. We want to take the dam out. We want to stabilize the banks on either side, protect a former landfill that was on the western side of the river, and you know, protect some erosion or some stop some erosion that is occurring on the east side. And then hopefully maintain the water level that we enjoy upstream at Mill Race Park. You know, we've got a boat ramp up there and a number of people who use that area to fish and just to get in the river and go upstream, go up the Driftwood River for, you know, a couple of miles. And then to maintain the round pond that's there in the Mill Race Park. So, you know, that project's pretty ambitious, and you know, we continue to have conversations right now with the Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers. They've got some say, you know, into what we do with our river. And so we continue to have conversations with them on that, and hope to hear something from them soon. We've been hoping to hear something from them soon for quite a while, but we continue to wait. They tend to move at their own pace.
Well, it sounds like something very similar. I just read about the commission approving funding for the Columbus Airport property to be used for industrial commercial use. I think what being called the Airplay Commerce Center. So is there interest there for development?
Well, the airport board is trying to, you know, do everything they can to develop that area out there. And we say out there, we're talking from City Hall perspective, that's north, north of 25th Street, north of 35th Street, actually. And they continue to have some success. They're a little bit hampered by the fact that you know, a prospective investor really can't buy that ground. I mean, it is still tied up with the U.S. Air Force. I mean, the tie is pretty tenuous. You know, I've always joked that if the U.S. Air Force ever needed that airport, you know, we're in a world of hurt, because they've got a lot of better facilities, you know, to turn to than Columbus Municipal Airport. But nonetheless, you know, they're kind of protective of their rights up there. And so it presents us with a challenge in terms of trying to find developers. But we do want to create the infrastructure that would support that. And so providing for roadways and sidewalks and assist with the educational campus that's already there. You know, those are the things that we're trying to do with the funding that you talk about.
So we see you have your last State of the City address coming Monday, March 4th, 6 p.m. Do we get a little bit of a preview today?
Well, you know, it's still a work in progress. So, you know, we're trying to finish it up, but yeah, it we it, so people picked up pretty quickly that this will be your last one, Jim, you know. And yeah, I got 10 more months to go, but yes, this will be the last State of the City. And so what we intend to do is spend just a little bit of time reflecting on you know, where what we've been able to do, where we've come from, you know, over the last well, not quite yet 8 years. And candidly, we've accomplished a lot, and we did a good portion of it with a pandemic at our head, you know, and our headwinds. And so I feel good about what we've been able to accomplish. We've got a variety of projects. We've talked about a couple of them here that are still, you know, in process. And so we'll try to give people an understanding, you know, of what we have attempted to do over the last 7 years and a couple months, and then provide an update on Nexus Park. I mean, once people see the steel, I mean, this thing is going to be really big. And you won't be able to drive down National Road without seeing, you know, what's over there. The people at Circle K are going to get their money's worth in terms of visibility and, you know, connection with a big eye attractor. But we're going to give an update, you know, on where we stand with Nexus Park and sort of provide that to the public, as well as some of the other things we've got going on. Like I mentioned earlier, you know, we anticipate a Ready 2.0, you know, and we've begun to have conversations about that. We know that there is a mental health initiative, you know, that's coming forward, funded by the state of Indiana, and we want to be positioned to participate in that. And so there'll be a variety of things to talk about in terms of what comes next.
Again, thank you so much. I always like to leave the last update to you. Any special announcements or anything else you'd like to say?
Well, we haven't mentioned that Columbus is the community of the year.
You say that every month.
I never want to get let an issue go by or a session go by, you know, without reminding everybody that you know, we've been designated the Indiana Community of the Year, and yeah, it comes with a little bit of pride as well as a satisfaction that we were recognized. And so I think the people who live in Columbus can take a little bit of confidence that maybe we're getting things you know, somewhat straight. So I appreciate that, and no, Joe, once again, welcome to Columbus. Glad to be back, and yeah, hope March, you know, comes in like a lion, so it can go out like a lamb.
Thank you so much. We'll see you in April.
You're welcome. Take care.